All across America and around the world, this is Veterans Radio.
This is Veterans Radio.
And now, your hosts for today's program, Dale Thronberry and Bob Gould.
And good afternoon and welcome to Veterans Radio. My name is Dale Thronberry and I get to be the aircraft commander today. But joining me is my co-pilot, who hasn't been around for a while. He's been on sick call. So we've got him back in the studio with me, and that is Bob Gould.
Oh, thank you very much. I got flight status now.
Yes, you're back on the air. And also, we're going to be talking about a lot of things today, but you can follow Veterans Radio. All of you out there know it. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and can go to our website and listen to our podcasts and look at all the archives of all our older programs. They're all there available to you. Today, on the first half, we're going to be talking about the VA and what's going on at the VA and what some questions about benefits. There's been some things that have occurred in the last month since we've been on, as you all of our listeners know, hopefully by now, that on the last Sunday of every month, we talk about benefits and we talk about the VA. And joining me in the studio is our local resident expert, and that's Michael Smith from the Washtenaw County Veterans Service Office. Michael?
Well, welcome, and it's good to see Bob back on flight status, and it's always good to join you here in the studio, Dale, and always again, good to talk about the benefits that the men and women of our country who served our country honorably, earned through that honorable service. And making sure that they get access to it is key.
We're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But before then, and we also have another guest, I should not forget about her, is our retired General Carol Ann Falzone, who is down in Florida getting ready to ride out whatever the storm is. Carol Ann, welcome to Veterans Radio.
Good afternoon, gentlemen, and thank you to all three of you for your service as we honor Memorial Day tomorrow.
We will be doing that. So just hang on the line, everybody. We've got a couple of announcements here. Actually, I have some official work that I need to do for WHAM. This is kind of exciting. Actually, it applies to us as well. But WHAM Radio has been granted FCC approval to build out and start broadcasting over an FM signal. And they need to raise about $60,000 to make this happen. So they're asking you, the listeners, to make that happen for them. They have until mid-June to raise the funds, given current engineering studies and site plans. So they've set up a GoFundMe page, and that's so you want to go to GoFundMe.com, go into the search bar and type in WHAM Radio, W-A-A-M Radio, and click on the donate, and let's see how we can get up to that $60,000 a lot quicker than necessary. This greatly increases the quality and reach within their existing Southeast Michigan listening area. The FM signal will be a lot clearer and will be present or on the air 24 hours a day. The FM signal will carry the same great conservative flamethrower programming the existing AM signal does. WHAM Radio's mission has and always will be to save the Republic politically, culturally, and spiritually. And so they're calling on you, the listener, to help them do that. So go to the GoFundMe page, GoFundMe.com, type in WHAM Radio, and donate. That's an order. So there. Do it. All right. We've got a lot of things going
up. We've got a lot of things.
Well, tomorrow is Memorial Day, the actual celebration of Memorial Day. And so we've got a couple of announcements we want to get into before we get to the VA. So, Bob, I know you have some local ones.
Thank you very much, Dale. Everything's going to take place tomorrow, right? Monday, so we don't need to say that. We're going to try in Ann Arbor, Michigan. The Glacier Highlands Memorial Day Parade starts at the Glacier Highlands Park. By the way, all of these are before noon, so give yourself a call to these locations. There we go. It's been a while, man. Okay, these locations, and they will give you times. But anyway, Glacier Hills, Highlands Park, and Ypsilanti, that's always the big one around here. American Legion Post 282 hosts its annual Memorial Day procession. Now, that does start at 9:30 a.m., so you got to be at Ferris and South Huron Streets in Ypsilanti. That's a biggie.
That is a biggie.
And you do want to get there early because parking is going to be something, too. And Representative Debbie Dingell Dearborn is going to be there. She's going to be greeting residents at 8:30. Chelsea, the Chelsea Memorial Day Parade, that kicks off Monday morning at Municipal Park downtown. We all know where that is. They got a nice little gazebo there. So the Chelsea band will be there. Also, Dexter Memorial Day Parade will be held at Monument Park, and that starts at 10 o'clock. The parade will be by the Dexter Rotary Club. Okay, Celine.
We got Celine's a lot another going. Big one. Celine's a big one, too.
It's a nice one.
Yes, the Celine Memorial Day Parade is going to start at Oakwood Cemetery. Okay, and in Milan, or known as Milan, a.k.a.
It's hosted by,
I know. I like to say Milan. They like it, too. Milan. American Legion Post 268. The ceremony will take place at the American Legion Post 268. It's really kind of cool. That's going to be, and all these are going to be kind of right around. Oh, one more, Manchester. The Manchester Memorial Day Parade starts at 11 o'clock along the Main Street Bridge. Manchester's kind of a nice little place.
It is a nice little place. That's where I will be. Anybody wants to see what I actually look like, I know it's going to be frightening, but that's where I'll be, 11 o'clock on tomorrow.
Oh, you're going to be there. So you're going to be at the parade?
Yes, of course.
Oh, all
marching
right.
In a parade.
Look for Dale, folks.
A little plug for the Manchester Marching Band happens to be under the direction of a well-known Throneberry.
Oh,
in our
is
family.
That right?
Yes, as in my son. What?
Maybe we should give you the banner. Would you like the veteran?
No, I wouldn't like the Veterans Radio banner because there's only one. That's me.
Okay. Well, go down and see Dale at the Manchester Parade, Memorial Day Parade. It starts at 11 o'clock.
I got one more for you. Thank you, Bob, very much. These are all going across, of course, all across the country. So check with your local social media or local newspaper, if you still have one, and see where these parades are going to be held. There's one more that I got. Actually, I got an email this afternoon that there's going to be a barbecue and art project for Team Rubicon tomorrow at the Veterans Village in Detroit at 10 a.m. And that's, again, in Detroit at the Veterans Village at 10 a.m. And for more information, you can contact Gordon Soderberg. Gordon's phone number is 313-269-1595. That's 313-269-1595. Barbecue and art project for Team Rubicon. And finally, the last one that I have is Ward Church up in Northville is sponsoring their annual patriotic concert, and that is going to be next Sunday, June the 3rd at 5 p.m. in Ward Sanctuary. Bob and I have both been to this concert. It's an amazing concert.
Amazing thing, yeah.
And it's totally free. And veterans are invited to come in their uniform, and all active duty and retired military personnel will be honored during the program. They bring you up on stage, and it's pretty heartwarming and heartbreaking to have these people honor their veterans. And so I encourage you to go out there. That's Ward Church up on 6 Mile and Haggerty at the corner of the intersection there. So head on out that way. The last one that I'm going to bring Carol Ann back on for is that we have a guest speaker down in Bonita Springs, Florida tomorrow. Carol Ann, can you tell our audience a little bit about that one?
Sure. I'm pretty excited about this. It will be at Riverside Park tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. So for all the Florida listeners who are veterans, who I've gotten involved with Veterans Radio, the first one will be at 9 o'clock, and I'm hoping the rains will stay away for that event. And then the Bonita Bay Veterans Committee, fabulous luncheon at 12 o'clock that will be indoors tomorrow to honor honor Memorial Day and our veterans.
All right. So if you're in Florida, check out Bonita Springs. And, of course, again, all across the country there are going to be celebrations celebrating the idea behind Memorial Day. And we'll talk more about that in the second half of the program. Right now we're going to take a really quick break, and then we're going to come back and start talking about what's going on at the VA recently and hopefully in the future. So you're listening to Veterans Radio. And we are back on Veterans Radio, and we want to thank John Philip Sousa for that tune. All right, so now the question is, what's been going on at the VA, and what do we need to be aware of? If you've got a question or comment out there, please give us a call here at Veterans Radio. The number is 734-822-1600, 734-822-1600. General Falzone, I'm going to go to you first. You just told me about something that's kind of shocking.
Well, and I'm sure Michael could add to this, but I would like our veterans to know that the VA has gone to a centralized mailing process where every RO across the country, which Legal Help for Veterans deals with, no longer will send directly to you your mail. They send it to a central location, which then they funnel out the mail. And the reason I'm saying this is, if one of your veterans, if you work with a veteran service organization or a county counselor, if you get mail, please call your POA, inform them of the piece of mail that you got, get it to them, because what we are seeing is anywhere between a 4 and 6 week delay in, at least for Legal Help for Veterans, us getting our mail. Now, that could be very significant if you've got a SSOC, a supplement of the case, which has to be answered usually in 30 days. So if you get a piece of mail that you're not aware of, your claim could possibly close because it was dated the 1st of April, and now we're talking the middle of May. And so we've been seeing this going on. We've been talking to our veterans, telling them to call us immediately if they get a piece of mail. We had a family just recently who were working through this. I will not mention the RO, regional office, but by the time we got the mail, the veteran had died. And so that's another issue that is concerning us.
Okay.
So, Michael, I don't know if you've seen any of that through the counties, but I think it's a huge issue.
Well, you certainly bring up a good point. This was the VA's move towards efficiency, if you allow me to say that. But many years ago, probably about 4 years ago, they did away with all their mailrooms and stopped receiving mail at the regional offices of jurisdiction. So we had two central intake points at that point. We either had to fax or mail all of our claims to Noonan, Georgia, or Janesville, Wisconsin. And then they lost the contract in Noonan, Georgia, and everybody now goes through one scanning vendor in Janesville, Wisconsin. Now, the VA then transitioned to processing their claims electronically in the Veterans Benefits Management System. And what used to be mailed to us as paper copies to any of the representatives, the powers of attorney, they're stored in the Veterans Benefits Management System. So if you're not constantly monitoring VBMS, you will miss the fact that the VA has made a decision, that they have generated a letter. And as General Fasson has mentioned, the letters do not come from the regional offices of jurisdiction that made the decision, because they, as we talked before, could be worked at any one of the 56 regional offices around the nation, including Guam and Puerto Rico. So they get it to that central vendor in Janesville, Wisconsin, to mail out to the veterans. I have gone into the system and seen my veterans' claims rated, seen the letters generated, and receive calls from my veterans 3 and 4 weeks later saying they have not received their letter yet. And I'll print it from, because I have remote access to the VA computing systems, and mail it to them myself. And they'll get the copy that I mailed them before they get the one that the VA mailed to them from that central location.
Wow. Okay. Well,
and as General Fasson said, you know, in these appellate situations, like a statement of the case or a supplemental statement of the case, you have a certain amount of time, 30 and 60 days, by which to respond to either do your Form 9 to perfect the appeal, or your appellate rights are lost. And so it's essential that these letters get to the veterans on time. They're dated, and the VA goes by the date of that letter, not when the veteran receives the letter.
Okay.
So it's a little problematic.
That is important.
It is very important.
Wow. I better talk to you guys about that. I got a letter about a month ago. It probably was supposed to have gotten to me, you know, 3 months ago. All right. So, well, check your mail, guys, men and women out there. If you have filed a claim, and you know, make sure, get on your representative and see if they can have access to it so you can find out sooner and do whatever has to be necessary. You may have to appeal that claim. You may have to send in more information, which it seems like that's all they ever want is more information. But okay. Well, the other thing I found here is that the there was a new law passed on Wednesday and is heading to President Trump's desk for signature. And this is called the VA Mission Act, which is now earmarking, it says, $52 billion for veterans care, although it will take years to implement. So, General Falzone, I'll ask you first on that one.
Well, I think the most critical thing, once again, is please, please, please make sure you keep your POA apprised of any issues, because we try, I will tell you this, and I know Michael does too, you've got to keep these claims open. You might be fighting for a different rating and increase, but if you don't watch the mail, they could potentially close on you, and you could be a major decision be made in a presumptive, and, you know, then you're sort of like in the dark, because if you haven't kept your claim open, even though you keep getting denied, there is that opportunity that one of these days your disease entity will be rated. And but I do agree, I think it's going to take years so that we really see an efficient, I like that word, Michael, that you used, an efficient system come about, because I pray it's in my lifetime, but I'm not holding my breath.
Oh, goodness. Is this part of the Veterans Choice Program, or is it separate?
It is. It's essentially in recognition that the Choice Program only had funding through June of this year, to make sure that funding would be in place, as well as to streamline all the VA's community care programs. The Mission Act was incorporating some of those things that we talked about from the Commission on Care as it relates to veterans getting their health care out on the economy. This gives more funding to the Choice Program, and it also realigns the community care programs within each hospital so that they run a little bit more efficiently and come under one umbrella.
Okay, because I'm reading the article that was sent to me. It's in Military Times, and it says that the it includes overhauling the Department of Veterans Affairs Community Care Program, as you just mentioned, and also expanding caregiver benefits to older benefits, but may take months or years to put in place. And as General Falzone already pointed out, that somebody died before the claim was even settled.
Well, this is the hospital side, and that's a little bit separate from the claims side of the house, mm-hmm. which has its problems, which we just talked about, yeah. relative to central mail, the electronic processing of claims and Veterans Benefits Management System, the storage of those letters in that system. And who this really impacts more than anybody, and I'll caveat this, are those veterans who do not have representation for their claims. Because they don't have a representative like General Falzone or like me, who have access to the Veterans Benefits Management System and can constantly monitor that system for when decisions and letters go out. Those veterans who are unrepresented, they're just sitting there waiting. Whenever that letter gets to them, it gets to them. And as she's mentioned, sometimes it gets to them when it's too late. And of course, now family members have to go through the process of deciding if what we call an accrued benefit is going to be available to a survivor, meaning the money that the VA owed that veteran before right. he or she died, in certain instances can be paid out in full if there's a survivor, or if there's no survivor, then any other family member who advanced money for that veteran's health care costs, last illnesses cost, and funeral costs can be reimbursed up to that point if the accrued benefit is high enough. But the other ones that it affects, and I'm going to say this because this happens, are for those who have representatives who are not monitoring VBMS. Mm-hmm. It's a tool yep. that the VA gives to us to make sure that we as advocates can be on top of what the VA is doing relative to our claims. There are people, and unfortunately that's just the case, there are people who will put a VA Form 2122 in front of you, say, I'm going to be your representative, file your claim, and they don't see a doggone thing until you come back in and say, hey, I got a decision. Mm-hmm. And that's unfortunate, because there is a review period that when a rating decision has been made, they give veteran service organizations inside the VBMS system a 48-hour window to review the rating decision before they publish it. That's our opportunity to go, hey, what are you guys thinking about here? Did you read the letter from Dr. So-and-so? Did you see the medical evidence? You don't even quote from this medical evidence, which we've done before, emailing our VA counterparts directly, bringing to their attention letters that they've missed and did not even consider in the rating. And then when they did, they changed the rating decision before they published it. And you know what that saves? That saves an appeal. Because you can nip it in the bud before it's even published. Once it's published, your only opportunities are request for reconsideration or an appeal.
And Michael, you're exactly correct, because, and that gets back to my point, I don't want to beat a dead horse, but that issue with the mail, because us out there, Legal Help for Veterans, we don't have that awesome 48-hour window. But as soon as we get the mail and we review it, if there is an issue of reconsideration or exactly as you eloquently described, hey, did you guys miss the evidence that we sent in? It could get corrected. But if it's, months after the fact, it just makes it a little more difficult.
Wow. Thankfully, we have you two here to hopefully clear these issues up for some of our listeners out there. I know it gets very frustrating for people when they file claims and they don't hear anything, or they don't hear anything and they don't hear anything. It's Bob and I were both in the regular insurance business, and people got frustrated when they didn't hear about claims being settled or taken care of. Another thing that I got the other day was that there are a couple of more, we don't have a VA secretary yet, but that's to be expected almost. It seems like while we're waiting to figure out who is it going to be this time. But there was a question though about the acting secretary of the VA is already part of another organization, and according to the law, he has to resign from the acting job before he can be submitted to get the real job.
That is correct. If I'm not mistaken, Secretary Wilkie also serves in the Department of Defense.
Right.
In one of their sub-agencies on procurement.
Correct.
So there seems to be some issue with the U.S. Code saying that you can't have the job that you're applying for while you're there, while you're working someplace else.
Right. Can't hold two jobs at once. But, Dale, I want to go back for just one second, because I really do want to compliment you on this, maybe new piece to the show, whether it's fourth Sunday, however you want to look at it. And Michael, for your time, because I want to tell you, I think we're through this hour, we're making our veterans more aware of changes in the VA system, things that could be helping them. You just brought up the new law and the money that hopefully will be out there soon. From Veterans Radio, I think 2 months ago, I got a call about a veteran who was receiving PT, and all of a sudden he went for his treatment and all of his benefits were cut off. They said, sorry, but there's no money. There's no more money, and we can't offer you this service. For making a few phone calls, and I think because of Veterans Radio, this came up, he was able to get reinstated. And so, we're not always able to correct all of the issues, but I think we're making aware, our veteran community, what's happening out there and how to protect themselves maybe a little better. So thank you so much for doing that.
Well, thank you, because that is part of our mission, is not only to tell the stories, but to make sure that our veterans receive the treatment that they are entitled to, as Michael pointed out. These are benefits that were earned while they were in the service. It wasn't something that they signed up for, and most of us didn't even know we were entitled to these. And I think it's very important. My last thing was that I saw somebody sent me an email asking if esophageal cancer was being considered as an Agent Orange. Michael?
No. And we've long tried to figure out why. It's right next to the trachea. It's right next to the larynx. And those two are presumptive. It's in or near the respiratory system. It's the same issue we've always had with pancreatic cancer and liver cancer and bladder cancer. Now, bladder cancer is finally being considered. Mm-hmm. It's one of the five new ones that the secretary or was advanced to the secretary, and the secretary Shulkin at that time made the announcement that they were going to be working real closely with the administration to promulgate rules to add these conditions. But again, we don't know which of those five he's going to add.
Okay.
But at this point, esophageal cancer is not being considered.
All right. I just wanted to answer that question. That was an email that I got. We're coming up to the bottom of the hour. If you still have any questions about benefits, please feel free to give us a call. But we're going to be talking about Memorial Day after the news break. And so we still want you to stay tuned, because maybe the question that I'm asking you is, who is it that you think about when you salute that flag on Memorial Day? Who is the first person that flashes into your mind? Is it one of your buddies? Is it somebody that you went to basic training with? Is it your dad? Is it your mom? Let us know, because we'll share our stories here on Veterans Radio, and then we'll, you know, we're going to come back. Because Memorial Day for veterans is a very emotional day. And I was listening to the music earlier on, and it's going to be tough, because we're going to take a break for the news. We come back, we're going to be playing a song called entitled Arlington. Get the Kleenex out, folks. All right? So stay tuned. We'll be right back. You're listening to Veterans Radio. Thanks so much for listening.
This is where I'd settle down. I thought I'd die an old man back in my hometown. They gave me this plot of land, me and some other men, for a job well done. There's a big white house, sits on a hill just up the road. Man inside, he cried the day they brought me home. They folded up a flag and told my mom and dad, we're proud of your son. And I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best company. I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington. I remember Daddy brought me here when I was 8. We searched all day to find out where my granddad lay. And when we finally found that cross, he said, son, this is what it cost to keep us free. Now here I am, 1,000 stones away from him. He recognized me on the first day I came in, and it gave me a chill when he clicked his heels and saluted me. I'm proud to be on this peaceful piece of property. I'm on sacred ground and I'm in the best of company. And I'm thankful for those, thankful for the things I've done. I can rest in peace, I'm one of the chosen ones. I made it to Arlington.
We're back here on Veterans Radio.
Oh, and we are.
And all three of us here are just thinking about friends of ours that have gone. And, you know, we want to talk a little bit about Memorial Day. And Memorial Day is, you know, right in today's world right now, most people are planning picnics and barbecues and, you know, going off to sales and so forth. And that's okay. That's really, that's fine, because most of these men and women, in fact, all of these men and women were fighting so that you could do those things. All we're asking for you today on Veterans Radio is to take a minute and think about these men and women that paid that ultimate price so that you could go and have that barbecue and you could hug your grandchildren and so forth. It's really important that we take a little bit of time. That's why we talk about these parades. And I know that some people think, well, what's a parade for? Well, the parade is to honor the men and women that have served. And it's part of a family. And Bob just made the symbol there. It's part of a family. All of us that have served in the military, we're part of a huge family. And we want to make sure, you know, that we said at the time when we were in the service that we've got your back, and we want people to know that we've got your back today. And that's why we have Michael and General Falzone on the program to help solve your issues. And I got a quick, I can make a quick segue here away from the purpose of Memorial Day, because an issue came up that I wanted to make sure that Michael or Carol Ann had an opportunity to talk about. And that is, if you are a member of the VA system, or even if, I suppose, even if you're not, and you go and you have an emergency, you can go to a non-VA emergency room. Let me repeat that. If you have an emergency, you can go to a non-VA emergency room, but there are some stipulations that go along with that, and I'm going to, Michael, fill us in on that, please.
So what you're talking about is non-VA care.
Non-VA care, right.
It goes all the way back to the year 2000, so we affectionately refer to it as the Mill Bill. And so the CHOICE program wanted to also take and streamline those provisions from the Millennium Bill that came out in the year 2000 about non-VA care as it relates to emergency health care. So veterans who are enrolled in the VA healthcare system, so they must be enrolled in the VA healthcare mm-hmm. system. That's the first thing that we have to consider. They can be taken to the nearest emergency facility, non-VA, for emergency purposes and emergency healthcare. Now, that facility has to notify the VA within 72 hours that the veteran is there, and then they make a decision about how the veteran's health care is going to be approached. The first consideration is they will ask if the veteran is stable enough to transport. If the veteran is stable enough to transport, then that facility can coordinate with the VA to transport the veteran to the nearest VA facility to continue to get their health care, and the VA pays all the bills. If the veteran is not stable for transport, then the VA gives consent to allow the veteran to remain at that non-VA facility to receive the continuation of health care, and then once released, because all the notifications were done, this whole mm-hmm. discussion about transport was done, the VA will pay those bills.
Okay.
If they don't notify the VA,
good luck.
Then they're going to fight an uphill battle to have those bills paid.
Okay. General Falzone?
Dale, I just, Michael, you did that eloquently. I want to follow on because as a nurse, and I've dealt with this, so you go to the non-VA ER, and the wife, the daughter, the son says, my dad's a veteran, he gets his care through the VA. And they say, okay. Please, have them document it. Whatever ER that is, it needs to be documented. Michael's correct. The call needs to be made. It's usually through the social worker, discharge planner. They will get an authorization and a number. I tell veterans' family, if you do get an authorization, ask for the paperwork, make sure it's in the veteran's chart. I just had one overturned. It was an extensive bill. The veteran said, look, my wife kept saying that we're a veteran. The hospital put it in the records. They attempted the call. I guess it didn't go back, and that's the other thing. In one case, the hospital took down the number. Okay, here's your verification number. Somehow it didn't go up through the chain, so then the VA picked up that bill. On the other flip, the hospital picked it up because they were responsible to continue with the notification. And when that didn't get done, the hospital was responsible for paying that bill. And so those were two different outcomes that could have gone awry, and the veteran would have had to pay the bills.
Okay. Thank you. That answers the question that was asked of us. Make sure if you are in the VA program and you end up having to go to an outside emergency room for whatever reason, make sure they contact the VA within 3 days. Write it down. Yes, Bob.
I'd like to add something to that. You know, you and I, with our insurance experience, one of the things you can ask for when you're in the ER, you can ask for a copy before you leave of the attending physician's report, because if you have any doubt, or if they will put down whether it's emergent care or emergency care, and that's going to make a big difference, I'm sure. Emergent care, is that covered at
yes.
the ER, emergent care?
If they determine that your life is threatened, and whatever yes. that care is, then yes, it's going to be covered.
Yes.
Okay, because, I mean, emergency, you got a cut, you've broke your leg, right. Okay, that's pretty cut and dry. But anyway, you can always ask for a copy of the attending physician's report, and that's the time. Talk to them if there's any doubt about whether that was an emergency or not.
Okay, thank you. All right.
Good point, Dale.
Thank you both. All right.
Good point, Bob.
All right, let's take a look at Memorial Day. Here we go again. You know, we sent out a Facebook post where we asked if you had anybody you'd like to mention that you think about on Memorial Day that comes before your eyes. And as an example, I put up my good friend Ray Schrader. Ray survived Vietnam. He was a helicopter pilot, as I was. We grew up in the same state in New Jersey, two or three blocks away from each other, didn't even know until we ended up at primary flight school when we ran into each other. And Ray was my good friend for almost 50 years. And when Ray passed away, I can't remember now, probably 3 years ago, he had had a combination of kidney failure, he'd had a heart attack, he'd had heart problems, he'd had a brain aneurysm, he ended up with rheumatoid arthritis, he was developing Parkinson's, and he did not get a claim that was approved. I think all of that was, I am not a doctor, I am not an advocate at all, but I just think all of those things were caused by his exposure to Agent Orange when he was in Vietnam. Now, he was a strong and he was a stubborn guy, and he didn't think he needed to get the benefits. He said, save them for the people that really need them. And I think that he could have been one of those poster boys or poster men for the issues that he had. Now, the kidney problem ran in his family, but the other things did not. And so Ray is always in my heart. And every time I salute the flag, or I salute the parade marching by, he's the first one that comes to my mind.
He took that great shot that he had, that he did outside of you, me, and Nino.
Right.
That great shot.
The shot that actually it's on our website that he took that picture. That's
he
right,
did.
Because he was on the program a couple of times. A good friend, learned a lot from him. And, you know, the other person that comes to my mind when I think about it is our partner, Gary Lilly. Gary was, a Navy CB in Vietnam.
Can do.
can do. Many issues that he dealt with from his time in the service and afterward. But, you know, whenever we come to a consensus on something when we're thinking about what we're going to do here on Veterans Radio, we always go to what would Gary do.
And when he came in contact with us, when we first, Dale and I, talked about doing this program, it was like we gave this guy a voice that he's always wanted to have. He didn't write books. I don't even think he wrote a lot of articles, but he had a lot of stuff in his heart. And all of a sudden, Dale comes along.
I found this guy.
Tell us about that. No, that's a great story.
Well, I mean, he just said...
He came up to you.
He just, can I be part of this? And, you know, because I know, I mean, and everybody I had talked to about Gary, and, you know, I didn't do any vetting on him at all. It was that this is a veteran's veteran. He's a veteran's advocate. He had uncovered a grave of a Revolutionary War soldier down south of Saline. They went in and cleaned up and had a ceremony rededicating it. He was involved in just so many important issues. In fact, you and Gary went and removed a terrible flag that was hanging at an abandoned gas station.
In front of about thousands of people. The police could have been there any moment. He wasn't going to do that. I told him about it. I said, what can we do? He said, pull over. And I did. He got out. He got his knife out. He had a knife, and he cut the thing. Oh, it was tatters. It was awful. It was an abandoned gas station that left the flag up. Gary was not going to take care of, he was going to take care of, he was going to let that happen.
He took care of things like that. And so there are people like that. And we would like to know, Michael, can you think of anybody by the time that you were in their service that affected your life?
Well, let me chime in about my story about Gary, who, by the time I met him, had a failed claim. I won't mention the service organization, VVA, that horribly messed up his claim. And we were successful. He was finally awarded service connection, and we weren't satisfied with one of his ratings, and we had submitted our notice of disagreement. We actually had a hearing scheduled.
When he was killed?
Yeah.
Oh. And by the way, he was killed, too.
He was. Yes. He was killed. And that's one of the things I think that's really difficult, a part of my job, is the people that walk through my door and sit across the desk from me are not just customers. They're not coming to get their tire changed. They're not coming to get their oil changed. They're coming to have their lives transformed by a person who can help them do that. And we always remain. I've got customers on my client list right now that I've known for the entire 21 years that I've been doing this.
Sure.
And so when I lose one of them, it's really personal. Speaking of which, one was a person I served in boots with over at the 156 Signal Battalion. I left that unit just before the current conflict broke out, and my old unit deployed. And one of the guys, the entire crew came back, and they were in the Ypsilanti Day Parade with me. And I ran over to their cart and passed out my cards and said, look, you guys need to contact me and let's talk about benefits. And one person did, and that was Ben Lewis. And I helped Ben with the issues he wanted help with. He didn't want to acknowledge the PTSD. And yet he then took a second deployment. And on the first day back from his second deployment, he had to be rushed to the VA emergency room because he had his first encounter with his PTSD.
Oh.
So we worked on that claim, and he was doing well. And then he decided that things.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
He couldn't deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
He
became one of the 22, and I think that's the ones that really impact me the most, because we have had several people on our client list that just walked out of our office, and days later we get the news that they've taken their lives. And I think that's one of the heavy costs of any of these conflicts, but this one in particular. And, you know, we don't know why, you know, whether it's the high deployment rate, if it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 deployments, one behind the other with little rest or break in between, if it's the what they're putting into their bodies with their vaccinations, what they're exposed to when they're there in terms of environmental issues. But it's something that really is heartbreaking for an advocate like me. Another person I think about who's going to be on that hallowed ground in Arlington, interment will be June 4th, is a Korean War hero by the name of Robert Fletcher.
Oh,
born and raised here in Ypsilanti, Michigan. Had his farm out on Zeeb Road for many, many years. A wonderful contributing member to the Ann Arbor Ypsilanti community and the veterans community with his service on the former POW advisory board for 21 years. And Robert Fletcher was also a member of my Veterans Affairs Committee. And as you probably know, like with many of the veterans I come in contact with, Mark Linke and I worked on his claim. And even David Sames, he just had a rating decision to add tinnitus to his claim back in January, although he was 1,000% service connected. But hey, you know what? We get it all, right? If you need tinnitus, we're going to get the tinnitus for you.
Sure.
Robert, as you know, passed away February 12th. And unfortunately, I'll be out in Reno at a conference for professional reasons, and I won't be able to go to Arlington where he's going to be interred, but I wish I could go there. And I have all the best wishes in my heart for his daughters and his wife, Carol, who's, believe it or not, an employee over at the VA Ann Arbor Healthcare System.
Oh, all right.
She does research for them.
General Falzone,
well,
you have anybody
you know,
that jumps in mind?
Knowing Gary and Robert Fletcher, Michael, you've brought up some great names, Dale. You know what the sad thing is? I've never done this before, but with the assistance of Jim Fossone, tomorrow, in my speech, in the second speech, and it's hard to believe, but, you know, also with the hallmarks of war, we are losing great veterans to accidents, training accidents, and the training accidents that have occurred in the last several years are higher than combat deaths. And so we need, as a nation, to think of those veterans, those individuals who are dying in training accidents, and also those, as you stated, Michael, that, you know, the 22 a day from suicide because their families are left behind. They have suffered. They've paid the ultimate price. And I think that's what Memorial Day is about. It's looking at all of those pieces and giving honor to those veterans and their family for their great sacrifice.
Absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. Bob?
Well, I'd like to maybe just kind of take away from some of this pretty heavy stuff and honor somebody who's in the service now. He doesn't know I'm going to say this, but I'd like to honor Eric Toll, the gentleman who was on my program a while back, and he is in the Army now, and he represents what it's all about. I mean, when I talk to him and how he's involved, he's at three up and two down. What is that, platoon? The guy's 38.
Three up, two down, that's a sergeant first class.
Right. Okay. That's really up there. The guy's 38 years old. He did two tours, one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan, and part of the surge. He was part of that. But, you know, and I watch him and how much he's involved. Right now, he's in the community. He's going to the University of Toledo. Get this, folks. They're going to make him a warrant officer, and he's going to be an environmental whatever, something environmental, right? Okay. For the,
a warrant officer is a super specialist.
No, but I wanted to.
That's all I was a warrant officer. I flew helicopters. The only thing I knew how to do. I didn't have any command responsibility. I just was a specialist in that field. There are specialists in the special forces that are communication specialists, that type of thing.
I think that gentleman, when I, I keep calling my kid, good Lord, I hope he doesn't hold me on that one. But when I talk to him, he just so, what do I want to say, guys? Help me on this. I mean, we're not talking about somebody that's desperate. We're talking about somebody that's got community, that has foresight, that has future. And it radiates from this young person. And they're the person, but that's what the Army's about now. Well, yeah. And so when I see Beetle Bailey or I see Stripes, you know, how long would a guy like, about 3 minutes in my outfit. But when I see that stuff, and that's not what it's all about. And I don't think it was even about that way back when, but it's certainly
I think a lot of those things are probably came about as a result of, quote, comic relief because of the seriousness of the jobs that these men and women are doing. You know, if Beetle Bailey came about during World War II, the men and women that came back from there saw terrible things. Everybody's seen terrible things in the military, but we also remember that, you know, the 10% of the terrible things that we saw, there was probably another 20-30% of people that were just crazy that we met when we were in the service. And every time we think of them, and I can, some of them are flashing in front of me right now, I just start laughing because they are always able to get you to smile. Even if it was the worst day in the history of your life, they're the ones that could pick you up and say, hey, you know, watch this, and they would do something silly.
I agree. I think comic relief was one of the things that was a hallmark of the military. Everybody was a comedian.
Oh.
And what was funny for me is I grew up, I was a MASH generation. I would watch MASH from 7 to 7:30, 7:30 to 8, and then 8 to 8:30. I would watch it on different stations. And my uncles were Vietnam veterans, and my other uncles were World War II and Korean War veterans. And so it had a special place for me. And then when I went in, everybody was Hawkeye everybody had that comedic relief, one-liners, kind of dry wit humor that could help you get through the roughest part of your military service.
And I think that's important, and that's something that we want to encourage people today, especially tomorrow on Memorial Day, take a second, take more than a second, take about a half hour, and think about all of the benefits that you are receiving today that came about as a result of what the men and women in Arlington, the men and women that are in Holly and all of these national cemeteries, or even it's just a cemetery down the block that's got, those American flags that are stuck next to the tombstones. Mm-hmm. Every single one of them served their country. We want you to think about that for just a little bit. And then you can go ahead. Go have your barbecue. And that, drink a beverage in honor of them.
Fly a flag, too.
Yeah.
There you go. Fly a darn flag.
There you yes. go. Our flag.
Our flag, right. Yeah, right. We have one behind us right now, and mine is out, and yours is out, and I'm sure yours is out.
Oh, every day.
And we want you to make sure you fly your flag. That's what it's there for. I wasn't going to go into this, so I might not. But the idea is, that being an American is not an ethnic trait, because if you get a DNA test, it doesn't say you're an American. It says you're 10% this, you're 5% that, you're 20% that. Everybody here that served in the military wanted to do it. Even if they were drafted, they could have figured out a way to get out of it if they wanted to, but they didn't. They felt an obligation, and that's what I want to make sure I get you. I'm getting a high sign over there that we're coming up to the end of the program. We've got two pieces of music that we're going to play. Number one is Taps, and we're going to play Taps, and then we're going to come back and talk just a little bit after that, and we're going to end up with our signature, Kate Smith, God Bless America. So don't go away. Put your hand over your heart, close your eyes, and listen to this. One of the most powerful songs in the world. And every time, you're going to hear that a lot tomorrow. So be prepared, because it's going to bring tears to your eyes. Because every time that song is played, that means that somebody has passed away. And somebody who was doing their job for you, for me, for Bob, for Michael, for General Falzone, for all of us. This is why we did this. This is why we joined the service. This is why we are still advocating for the veterans out there. It's our job. We have to protect them just the way that they protected us. And so how am I doing on time here? Keep going. 2 minutes. Oh, okay.
I'd like to add some.
Go ahead. Please do.
You asked me earlier when we first saw each other in the parking lot what I remember about Memorial Day. And it keeps coming back. When I was about 10 years old in the Scouts, and we sold flags on Memorial Day. And, man, we sold out of them in 45 minutes. Everybody bought them. They were little flags, larger flags, but everybody got a flag. Now, I'm not saying that there has been, there's such a change in the culture. No, but we've forgotten that. We just need to just keep reminding, and reminding our grandchildren and children. That's what kept it. That was 1950, 51, sold out. Sold out of all of them.
I was at a store yesterday I won't mention, but they were giving away flags.
Awesome.
A little, the
Art Van, wasn't it?
No, it was a different place. They're not going to pay us. All right, so,
we
ladies and gentlemen,
thank
you very much for listening to Veterans Radio. We'll be back next week. Stay tuned. You are dismissed.
Stand beside her and guide her.
something to the friend.